Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the HSE has issued an apology to a Donegal child who has Down syndrome and their family after comments made by a healthcare professional. Almost 200 new jobs are to be created in the Northwest. Donegal Senator Niall Blaney believes the Bunagee Link in Letterkenny could be completed within a short number of years. And a Midlands Northwest MEP has called for an apology to homeowners affected by the defective block crisis from his government party counterparts. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport with Jordan McDade, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First in news, the HSE has issued an apology to a Donegal child who has Down syndrome and their family after comments made by a healthcare professional. Donal, the child's father, told the 9 till noon show earlier this week that he was told children with Down syndrome learn differently and they can be quite lazy. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
There was much outrage at the comments made by the healthcare professional during a meeting to discuss care plans for Donal's son. It was alluded to that no care plan was needed, as the person said children with Down syndrome learn differently and they can be quite lazy. In a statement issued today, the HSE apologised to the child and family that the level of service received was not at the level the family would wish it to be. A full investigation into the matter is due to take place. A spokesperson says, with regards to comments posted on the official Down syndrome page on Monday the 30th of October of this year, Community Healthcare Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo wishes to reassure all parents attending the CDNT services that is never their intention to cause distress or worry to any family. They say concerns raised are taken very seriously.
Almost 200 new jobs are to be created in the Northwest. The jobs are being created at Vertiv's campus in Campsie Derry. The company acquired Inishowen-based company E&I Engineering in 2021. Welcoming the news, Councillor Sandra Duffy says today's announcement is evidence of the potential of the Northwest.
Vertiv and E&I, and particularly Phil O'Doherty, have shown great commitment to the Northwest and shown what they can do when they have that commitment and vision for the Northwest city region and how they can create jobs and establish the economy. It's a great place to be and work, but we now need the Assembly back. If we're going to expand upon these jobs, if we're going to expand the economy and make sure that more people want to come to the Northwest to work and to live, then we need an Assembly that is back up, that is able to take decisions and is able to show the world that we are open for business and able to show businesses across the globe that if they want to invest, then the Northwest is a good place to do it.
A petition has been set up calling for the Bunagee Link in Letterkenny to finally get off the ground. Pádraig Shevlin says a protracted wait for the Bunagee Link Bridge has had a substantial and detrimental impact on Letterkenny's economic prospects and the broader region of Donegal. There's hopes the Bunagee Link could alleviate the current traffic congestion in and around the town. The petition has so far garnered over 530 signatures. Pádraig says the amount of investment in infrastructure in Letterkenny is not being reflected in the traffic flow.
Daily commutes in and out of the town is becoming a nightmare. We find ourselves stuck in traffic and wasting precious hours on the primary access route in and out of the town, and the recent works, which involve quite a substantial investment, were of little benefit. One such comment, since I kind of took some images and posted them online, and that's what kind of kicked us off, was we started off with four lanes. We spent millions and ended up with four lanes and a set of traffic lights.
Well, Donegal Senator Niall Blaney believes the project could be completed within a short number of years. He says the Bunagee Link is now part of the wider 10T project and much preparatory work has already been done in terms of planning and land acquisition ahead of the selection of a preferred route. He says a business case for the 10T project, including the new bridge, is with government and he's hopeful for a decision in the coming months.
As I understand the moment, and in discussions with Management Panlog, is that the business case really is a decision the government needs to take, and that's why it's with Cabinet now as a business case, that everything is on their table. So they'll know what the budget is, they know what the ask is. So the preparations will be in place if government decide that this project now goes ahead. Before, you'd been waiting for tender stage, but the business case now is a big decision. And we're not too far off that point.
We're expecting at some point, probably within the next year, a general election. Do you believe there's going to be a very clear indication from government ahead of that election campaign what its plans are in terms of both the route selection and the timeline for the construction of this and the other projects in the TEN-T?
I think the government will make a very clear indication of what their intention is in the business case. There could be challenges in the planning process. You would hope not, and I don't think there will. That being the case, then this project is maybe within a couple of years' grasp.
Irish citizens in Gaza are still waiting to be allowed out through the Rafah crossing to Egypt. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it's working to get them out of Gaza as soon as possible as Israel continues its aerial bombardment and ground invasion. More than 9,000 people have died in the Palestinian territory since October the 7th. It's as US President Joe Biden has said there needs to be a pause in the fighting to allow Israeli hostages out. Journalist Hannah McCarthy says it's a small step towards peace.
For this, we didn't hear him using that language at all, and both he and other major Western countries have been very reluctant to use language like calling for a ceasefire. The Irish government has what pause means. There's going to be, you know, a pause in the fighting to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza.
People Before Profit, meanwhile, says the failure of the Irish government to call for sanctions to be imposed on Israel exposes moral bankruptcy and amounts to complicity. Richard Boyd-Barrett wants to see both political and economic sanctions similar to what Western governments hit Russia with last year.
Before our eyes, Israel is committing war crimes day in, day out against the people of Gaza. But it seems because the United States and Britain and others are supporting them, governments like our own refuse even to call for sanctions, despite the horror and slaughter that is being visited on the people of Gaza. The double standards are shocking.
A Midlands Northwest MEP has called for an apology to homeowners affected by defective blocks from his government party counterparts. It comes following a visit by MEPs to the county to see firsthand the true impact of the defective block crisis. MEP Luke Ming Flanagan has been particularly critical of one Fine Gael MEP.
We spent 2 days in Donegal looking at the houses affected by the blocks containing deleterious material. We got a great overview of the whole situation. There was an awful lot said. We listened to families, we listened to experts, we listened to engineers, and MEPs took note of everything that was going on. But for me, there was one major thing missing, and that was an apology from the MEPs who were there from the government parties. And while I'm only delighted that anyone will come up and have a look at the situation, I think it's important that people acknowledge when they've done something wrong. And having listened to the homeowners up there and having listened to the experts, and we've been doing this for the last 3 years and for longer than that, I think an apology is certainly something that should be given, because it's clear that people have been let down here. It's clear that market surveillance hasn't taken place. We've been told by the head of the market surveillance body that we have a national emergency, that they have severe staff shortages, that they were understaffed since its inception, and that they need additional resources. And that is one of the major reasons why these problems are going on and why they potentially will continue to go on into the future. So for me, I think what was important that MEPs who are a member of the government party, if they're going to go around and talk to people and meet people, I think for me it's very important to acknowledge that they have done something wrong and they put up their hands and they apologise.
Well, in response, Midlands Northwest MEP Colin Markey says the crisis is much more than a football game.
To say the government hasn't done anything in relation to this is just not fair. I think it's not enough. We need to do more. We need to address some of the issues that we've just talked about. And we need to address the concerns that people have, the like of whether or not foundations need to be addressed, whether or not whether we can get greater flexibilities and less bureaucracy in the system. It's clear people don't have the confidence to take up the scheme at the moment. And we need to address some of the issues around that and the roadblocks around finance. And that's what we're about here. We're not about starting pointing fingers of a blame game. I fully accept that we would like to have this dealt with years ago, but it is a complex situation. I fully accept that it isn't as far on as we'd like it to be at this stage, but the only way we'll move on further is to deal with the issues and not looking to try and get a political score, make a political football out of it. We want to get the issue resolved, and that's where my concern is. So if we can, at European level, identify, let's say, through the ECB, where we can get the finance, or indeed look how we can build capacity in terms of availability of skills. That's what we need to do, not start a political football that just drags the thing out for more and more years.
Gardaí are continuing to question a man in his 60s as part of an investigation into an aggravated burglary in County Sligo. It happened on the 18th of January last year in Skreen. Tom Nyland, who was 73 at the time of the incident at his home, remained on life support for 18 months. The farmer died at Sligo University Hospital in September. Three other men have been charged in relation to the incident and have appeared before the courts. The man accused of murdering Aisling Murphy has taken the stand in his trial before the Central Criminal Court. 33-year-old Joseph Pushka of Lanali Grove, Mucklagh County Offaly, denies the murder of the schoolteacher in Tullamore on January the 12th, 2022. Andrew Lyth reports.
At around 3:30 this afternoon, Joseph Pushka was sworn in to give evidence before a jury, which he is doing so through an interpreter. In evidence, defence counsel Michael Bowman asked him to recall his movements on the morning of January 12, 2022, the day Aisling Murphy died. He told the jury he travelled into Tullamore from his home in Mucklagh that morning. He recalled seeing a woman walking her dog, later named as Anne-Marie Kelly, and he denied he was following her. When asked about CCTV footage showing him behind Miss Kelly, Joseph Pushka said there was no bad intention whatsoever, adding that he had no intention to follow anyone at all. The father of five denies murder and will continue giving evidence tomorrow. Andrew Lyon at the Central Criminal Court.
Police in Derry now believe an image of a person dressed as a Hamas fighter to be fake. The image appeared on social media earlier this week and there were fears that it could be an offence under the Terrorism Act. PSNI officers have carried out inquiries, including reviewing CCTV footage. Officers remain open-minded but have also said the situation is a timely reminder that not everything on the internet is as it may seem. Nine weather stations have already recorded a year's amount of rain with 2 months remaining. Met Éireann has released its climate report looking at conditions over October. The wettest day of the month was on the 18th at Cork Airport, which had its highest daily amount of rain since 1995. The highest gusts, meanwhile, were recorded at Malin Head. Wind speeds of 106 kilometres per hour were recorded at the weather station last month.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Jordan McDade.
Good evening. We start with soccer. Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman may feature in her final Euro 2024 qualifier later this month. The Donegal man has been out of action since May with knee injury. However, his Everton manager Sean Dyche has said today that he's nearing a return to first team action. He says he hopes he'll play with the Toffees under-21s at the weekend. Ireland played the Netherlands away on the 18th of November before a friendly against New Zealand in Dublin 3 days later. Elsewhere, Manchester United fans are concerned that the uncertainty around the club ownership is having an impact on the pitch. Their poor start to the season continued last night as they crashed out of the EFL Cup with a 3-0 defeat to Newcastle. The supporters at Old Trafford have been given their views on the situation.
If this club could get sold, new owners, perhaps things can change.
It's a mess from start to finish. You look at the whole team, but I think the way is the owners.
There's some really good players there, which there's great potential in, but they just need some sort of a lift to spur them on or something.
In GAA news, Donegal have launched their new county jersey for the 2024 season today at the Abbey Hotel in conjunction with the O'Neills. The county crest is a harder design which isn't too far off the previous jersey. Donegal forward Oisin Gillen attended the launch and speaking with Ryan Ferry, the Donegal News, he hopes the jersey will bring a fresh start heading into the next season.
Yeah, it looks well. Fair play to O'Neills and the county board for getting it designed, getting it made. Looks well, looks fresh, and looking forward to getting wearing it now and next year.
Yeah, so it's a fresh jersey, and hopefully you'll get the right kind of results in it next year.
Yeah, hopefully maybe it's a fresh start for us now going into 2024. As I said, looking forward to getting wearing it now and getting up and running for the new season.
Donegal manager Jim McGuinness is back for a second term, having led the county to an All-Ireland title in 2012. The bar set so high previously, there would be high expectations this time around. Here's Jim's take on that.
For me, there's probably two sides to that coin, because there'd be a lot of people saying that it's going to be a very tough number of years, and there'd be a lot of people very excited, and the expectation would be high. Really, neither makes a difference in reality for us. It's just going to be very important now that we get our heads down. We start working, it's kind of back to ground zero in many respects. We're in a situation probably where we don't want to be in as a county, and in Division 2, and a very, very difficult season last year for everybody. And so, yeah, we have to find a way now to rise from that and move forward from that. And as I said earlier, Oisin, building them blocks as well, putting the pieces together and trying to work out who can do a really good job for us and where they can do that job.
Turning to rugby, World Cup final referee Wayne Barnes has announced his retirement. The English official officiated in 17 Six Nation tournaments and over 27 World Cup games across five competitions. At the most recent tournament, Barnes was in charge for Ireland's pool victory over Tonga in their quarter-final loss to New Zealand, and was the man in the middle for the final between South Africa and the All Blacks. In golf, play has been suspended for the day during the opening round of the Rolex Challenge Tour Grand Final due to high winds. Dublin's Conor Purcell is one under par with two holes of this round remaining to play, and that leaves him solo fourth on the leaderboard and just two shots off English leader Marco Penge. On the cricket front, India has thrashed Sri Lanka by 302 runs to become the first team to reach the semi-finals of the Cricket World Cup. The tournament hosts set their opponents a victory target of 358 and bowled them out in just over 19 overs in Mumbai. Sri Lanka now has to win their remaining two group games and hope all the results go their way if they're to progress. Finally, on the score this evening after the 7pm news, Donegal's senior hurling manager Mickey McCann is returning next year, and we'll hear from the Birdman on another Tilt at Glory plus he'll preview the Ulster club games for St Anta and St Eunan's. Narasa manager Declan Boner looks ahead to Donegal junior champions Ulster club clash with Lisnaki, while Anne-Marie McGlynn reflects on her national marathon success last weekend. That's all in the score programme tonight after the 7pm news. That's your sport.
Thanks, Jordan. Weather now mainly dry this evening in light winds. Dry early tonight with clear spells, though showers will move in later in the night with lowest temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The HSE has issued an apology to a Donegal child who has Down syndrome and their family after comments made by a healthcare professional. Donald, the child's father, told the 9 till noon show earlier this week that he was told children with Down syndrome learn differently and they can be quite lazy. Almost 200 new jobs are to be created in the northwest. The jobs are being created at Vertiv's campus in Campsie Derry. A petition has been set up calling for the Bunnagee Link in Letterkenny to finally get off the ground. Bourke Shevlin says the protracted wait for the Bunnagee Link Bridge has had a substantial and detrimental impact on Letterkenny's economic prospects and the broader region of Donegal. And a Midlands Northwest MEP has called for an apology to homeowners affected by defective blocks from his government party counterparts. It comes following a visit by MEPs to the county to see firsthand the true impact of the defective block crisis. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear more about the race to be the new IFA president and deputy president. The hustings were in Donegal this week. But first, as you will know, parts of the country have seen huge amounts of rainfall in recent weeks. Donegal has escaped the worst of it, so how is the tillage sector up here doing? I've been speaking with Newton Cunningham farmer Stephen Robb, who is also renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and I began by asking him to give me an overview.
Yeah, for once we can actually say that we have. We've escaped the worst of the really, really bad weather so far anyway, over the past few months, really. If we go back as far as harvest time, Chris, it was a really, really challenging harvest. Yields were quite poor, quality was an issue, and we were trying to contend with that, and amongst really broken weather and trying to get straw off the ground. Normally, we've contended with that before up here in Donegal, but for the first time in a long time, it was impacting absolutely everyone around the country. You know, even in the sunny southeast or even parts of Cork, Dublin Meath, like they all experienced a really difficult harvest. They bring that through into the autumn and into the autumn planting time. There really was no let up. There was no real reprieve, and guys just struggled to find a chance to get crops in. Now, we up here in Donegal certainly didn't have a smooth run. There were certainly crops sown in less than ideal conditions, but look, I would say proportionately we managed to get more crops sown this autumn than many parts of the rest of the country.
Now, of course, the Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, has been making a big push to increase the acreage under tillage, but given the light of things this year, what's the outlook now for 2024?
The government wants to increase the tillage area to about 400,000 hectares or so. After the year that's been, certainly from a profitability point of view, the tillage sector is really challenged as well. Our biggest problem has been that we've always been competing on a global grain market, and look, the outlook for grain prices is not great. So it's really difficult to see how we're going to increase the tillage area to any degree, really. One of the big challenges of being in the tillage sector is that a lot of farmers are still relying on rented ground. We've seen the price of rented ground skyrocket, really, around this county and around the rest of the country. If you're talking to anyone within the tillage industry, absolutely no one believes that those targets are achievable.
So where do we stand in terms of the potato crop here in Donegal?
We've been having a much better run than most of the rest of the country. Most growers are making good progress now at this stage. Look, conditions depending on the field have been very tricky, so they have, but they're still able to move, and they're still able to get crops out. Look, we're seeing reduction in yields this year. We're seeing a lot of tear and a lot of issues with waste just by virtue of the wet season that we've come through. We're seeing losses of 30% or so in some places, but at least we're getting them out. We're heading into a much better position market-wise than probably what we have been. The rest of the country, again, like there's probably about 60% of the national crops still to harvest. We would have heard losses of up to 50% depending on the variety and on the field. So certainly it's been the most challenging year in a long, long time for southern potato growers.
And that was Newton Cunningham farmer Stephen Robb. Now, earlier this week, the last of the IFA presidential hustings took place with the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny being the venue. There are two candidates in the election to see who will succeed Tim Cullinan as the president of the biggest farming organisation in Ireland. Francie Gorman is a suckler beef and sheep farmer from County Laois, while Martin Stapleton is a dairy farmer from Limerick. Well, they both outlined their views on a variety of issues at the meeting in Letterkenny on Bank Holiday Monday. Interestingly, both were strongly of the opinion that the Irish farmers are getting a lot of negativity directed their way in the climate change debate, much of which they maintain is most unfair. Well, after Monday's event in Letterkenny, I spoke to the chairman of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, Joe Sweeney, about the importance of the election and why Donegal farmers should use their vote.
Yeah, that's what my message would be, to get everyone to vote. It's a bit easier this year because it's a postal vote, so the votes are being sent out in the post. So I'd urge everyone to come out and vote either at branch or pop it back in the post and send it back, but don't leave it behind the clock on the mantelpiece, because the bigger the vote, the stronger the mandate. When the association goes to meet with government and whatever to bargain, so there's 70,000 plus members, so we're looking for a good turnout. At the minute, the way farming's going, like most farmers are walking with, as someone says, a stone in the shoe, it's not easy. So no, I would urge farmers to get involved, because no matter where we work, no matter what we do, we need someone to represent us. Unity is so important. We have a good structure here at the minute. We have great officers here at the moment in the county, working very well, I must say, and we just want to keep that and continue that as we go forward.
Joe Sweeney, the chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Well, previously on Highland Radio's Farming News and Views, we have heard from the two presidential candidates, and they've also been featured on the 9 to Noon show. Well, the race is also on to see who will be the next deputy president of the IFA. A few weeks ago, we heard from one of the candidates, Alice Doyle. The other candidate is Pat Murphy from Galway, and he's been telling me about his campaign so far.
It's gone very well. I've been very happy with the response that we've got, very happy with the team that we've out. But more importantly, the question that has come and listening to people. It's always great to get out there and listen to people. So,
a lot of people look, obviously, at the main presidential election, but the deputy position, just how important is that as well?
I don't think you can discount how important it is. I think I'd like to make the deputy president my own. I'd like to put my own mark on it. For me personally, I think we need to sell ourselves as food producers a lot better. I think we need to get to our customers, both in the supermarkets and the towns and villages and cities across the country, to let them know how important food production is, the fact that this food is locally produced, it's full of nutrients, but also to get the message across to our customers. The care that goes into producing the crops, minding the animals, I think a lot of people don't realise just how much goes on behind the scenes.
It's hard to please everybody all of the time, and that's one of the challenges that the IFA faces, is trying to represent every farmer.
It is, and look, at from having family here in Donegal, I know that sometimes they feel isolated, they feel that they don't be listened to by us in Dublin, and that's certainly one thing that I would like to get a message across, that I'm not going to be a stranger. As I said, I have family in Donegal, Bernadine Quinn, that has been principal in Cooldaff National School for a number of years. So I would use that experience to be a better representative of people, but to make sure that I'm not a stranger up here, and to try and represent all aspects of farming, because I can see, like, the dry stock sector, both sheep and suckers, the numbers that's involved, it is really the backbone of the countryside here, and dairying as well. Like, as a derogation farmer myself, I can see the derogation, or the cut in the derogation, the effect it's going to have. Potato farmer myself for a number of years, we always knew the importance of the potato industry, especially the seed industry, to Donegal farmers. And having seen the tillage crops here, and some of them still in the ground, it has been a tough year, so we have to try and listen to everyone. But I hope that I can show that the farmers in Donegal that I know what's going on in the county, I know what's going on in their whatever aspect of farming that they have, and that I will try and be a representative of them.
Pat Murphy there. Well, each IFA member has until December the 11th to cast their vote, and the count begins on December the 12th in Dublin. In other news, Chagos and the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation are holding an online webinar this evening at 8 o'clock to explain the upcoming changes that are being made to both the terminal and the replacement beef indexes. The webinar will be of interest to all commercial suckler farmers and beef breeders who have an interest in the impact these changes are likely to have on their breeding choices over the coming years. Finally, the organic farming scheme will be open to new applicants from tomorrow and will remain open until the 8th of December. Dry stock farmers entering into a contract could qualify for yearly payments of up to €300 per hectare during the conversion period and up to €250 per hectare when they have achieved full organic status. Higher payment rates are available for organic horticultural and tillage farmers. In addition, an annual participation payment of €2,000 in the first year of conversion and €1,400 a year following that has been introduced to support organic farmers. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, November the 2nd. The death has taken place of Alan Wiley, Drummoney, Letterkenny. Alan's remains will be reposing at his late residence from 12 noon until 10 o'clock tomorrow and Saturday. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 1:45, going to Trinity Presbyterian Church, Upper Main Street, Letterkenny, for funeral service of Thanksgiving at 2:30. Interment afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Carl Gormley, Glencar Scotch, Letterkenny, and formerly from Rafoe. Carl's remains are reposing at his late residence. House private to family and close friends, please. Fiona from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Jinan's Cathedral Letterkenny for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Robert Tinney via Manor Cunningham. Robert's remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Fiona from there on Sunday going to Rye Presbyterian Church, Manor Cunningham, for service of thanksgiving at 2:30, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Wake private to family, friends and neighbours. The death has occurred of Billy Scott, McBride Street, Raphoe, County Donegal. Billy will be reposing at Kelly's funeral home this evening from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Fiona leaving Kelly's funeral home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, going to St Jinan's Cathedral, Raphoe, for 2 o'clock funeral service, followed by interment in the family plot at the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Cathedral Fabric Fund, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Fran Ward, nee Blee, 57 Derry Road, Strabane, and formerly of Altishane, Dunamana, reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 1 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers to SMA Fathers, Drumatine, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.